News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Here we go into the 8 o'clock hour, third hour of the show, and it's Dan and Dalton at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
And primary Super Tuesday on the way very soon, actually about 6 days from now. We'll be an hour into voting. And again, we've talked to plenty of candidates this cycle. And if you want to listen to those interviews, get ready to vote on Tuesday, know who you're voting for, go to fmtalk1065.com. A couple places you can go from that front page. If you look at the top, it says 2024 elections. You can either click there, or there's a nice picture of an election 2024 almost like a voting pen, and you can click on that. That'll get you there as well. In addition to interviews with all of the candidates we've spoken to on this station, we have sample ballots for both sides of the bay and both sides of the aisle, the Republican and Democrat primary ballots for both Mobile and Baldwin counties, so you can check those out before you head off to vote so you don't have any surprises come Tuesday. Welcome back into the studio, Judge Vicki Davis, who is a sitting circuit court judge, but also running for circuit court judge in the GOP primary on the way. Good morning, Judge Davis.
Good morning.
Good to have you. When you were appointed by Governor Ivey.
Yes.
After the unfortunate passing of a judge in that seat. How did that go? What was that like? What was that phone call like? Or how did that proceed along where you got the information and got the appointment from the governor?
Well, actually, I was sitting in my kitchen. I was teleworking that day. I was still with the U.S. Attorney's Office, still being a federal prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone rang, and it was Governor Ivey.
Hmm.
The first thought was that maybe some of my friends were punking me.
Well, about half the state does a pretty good Governor Ivey impersonation, so you were right to worry about that. But
I fortunately bridled my tongue and didn't say anything smart or
yeah,
cute.
Yeah, that was good.
And she said, hello, this is Governor Ivey. And I said, hello, Governor Ivey. And she said, how are you doing? And I replied that I was doing okay. And she said, I'm about to make your day better.
Wow.
And she told me that she was appointing me to the circuit court bench. She asked that I do a good job, that I restore faith in the government, that I be a good steward to the money, and that I have integrity while I was sitting on the bench.
Hmm. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And it's been 9 months, right around, was it June of last year?
It was June of last year. I raised my hand and actually took the oath on the 3rd of July.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a vacation for one day, July 4th.
And it's been busy since, I'm sure, especially these last few days, last few weeks, as we're now 6 days away. You can see it on the horizon. And I'm sure you've been busy. So what are your thoughts now that we're less than a week out from the ballot box being open?
My thoughts right now is that everyone needs to make sure that they exercise their right to vote. The vote is the most important thing. That vote makes sure that the people of Mobile County show who they think is the best for each of these positions that are on the ballot.
Speaking of that, you've been busy, I guess, going to different, it's a big county, and we talked about that the last time you were here. You go from Dolphin Island to Citronelle, you've put about 100 miles in right there. So what has that process been like? And I guess you've still been busy doing that in some of the remote areas of the county?
Yes, we've been trying to touch each end of Mobile County and make sure that my message gets out.
And they know who you are, right?
That they know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you think that everyone knows who you are. Now, you guys on the radio, everyone does know who you are.
Well, that's not always a good thing. But I guess that is interesting because making sure that they know who you are, and at the same time, you're getting to know who they are.
Exactly, and you're getting feedback about what people want to see in a circuit court judge, They want to know what your credentials are, why you're seeking the position. It gives them an opportunity to talk to you while you're not in the robe, while you're not in the bench.
Got it.
And they can express their concerns, sometimes their condolences, but also sometimes their congratulations.
This has been a very busy week in your race. Endorsements flying around. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. But also, after some reporting, after a report came out Monday night regarding your opponent and his career in the police department in Fulton County, Georgia, you've called on him to end his race, to step out from this race. Tell us a bit about the allegations here that your opponent, Chris Callahan, he said that back in 2003, when he was working with the Fulton County Police Department, that Officer Aaron Blunt was killed in the line of duty. And the way Callahan describes it happening is that he was among the first on the scene and that Officer Blunt died in his arms. Now, this week, there's been pushback on that story. It came out Monday, and you've called on him to step out of the race. Kind of explain from your point of view how things have gone down this last week.
Well, over the course of this campaign, people throughout the county have approached the campaign with myriads of allegations. This one was one that the campaign thought needed investigation, and that's what we did. We did a full court investigation. We did an open records request. The officers that were involved were talked to at length. They signed affidavits. A lot of things matter when you're deciding on a circuit court judge. Republican values matter. Ethics matters. Values matter. Christian values matter. Integrity matters. And truth matters. And what my opponent has said is just not true. And the idea that you would exploit an officer's death in the line of duty for some sort of political gain is just terrific to me. And that shows to me that that person may not have what it takes to be a circuit judge.
Now, Callahan, Judge Callahan, he insists that he's been telling the truth all the way through. Lanyap spoke with his ex-wife, who said his story has been with her consistent from the night that it happened all the way through. He feels he hasn't had, with this coming out and people coming out against him, I guess three signed affidavits from members of the police department at that time saying that he wasn't among the first on the scene and that they don't remember him there. He says he hasn't been given enough time to have his witnesses come out and show support for him and his side of the story. Do you feel that's the case, or does it matter?
I don't feel that's the case. My opponent has been telling this story for many years in many of the other campaigns that he has run. And he's run several times in different parts of the country for different offices. And he's told this story for a long time. So whatever evidence he has to refute what these officers are saying, he should already have had that.
Speaking of endorsements, which you did a moment ago, alluded to it, another big endorsement yesterday.
Yes.
From the mayor.
That was, can I tell you, that was overwhelming? It's my understanding that the mayor has only endorsed one other person, and that was Katie Britt.
Really?
And so this is, I was just excited, overwhelmed, humbled. By the fact that the mayor would come out and stand with me. You know, the mayor is certainly concerned about public safety, in addition to the other concerns that he has, but public safety is a big concern of his. And so for him and then all of the law enforcement endorsements that I have just really just sets me back on my heels. I am so excited. I'm so pleased by the fact that they would stand with me and stand with my campaign.
Now, the mayor did endorse one more person this week with Coastal 150, and that was Congressman Carl in his District 1 race against Barry Moore. But Coastal 150, you also picked up their endorsement.
I did.
And you were telling me about the Realtors also?
The Realtors Association. The Board of Realtors has also endorsed me.
So you've been the judge there for several months. Just explain quickly as we wrap this up, what are the citizens of Mobile County getting with you as that circuit court judge, and what can we expect going forward?
What they're getting with me is someone who brings 31 years of experience to the bench, someone who is pro safety for this community, someone who has for 31 plus years been working to make sure that the citizens of Mobile County feel safe and secure in their homes, in their streets, on their jobs. And they're not getting a pig in the poke. They don't have to worry about what is she going to do. You can look back over my career, look back over my resume. You can look back over the people who are saying she's the right person for the job. And they can come and watch me work. I'm on the bench almost every day when I'm not out here talking to you guys.
I think I ought to take her up on that.
So 6 days to go. We mentioned it, and you're rounding that final turn,
yes,
almost there for the this primary that's coming up. For folks that want to learn more about your campaign, you've got a website. Let me pull it right here. JudgeVickyDavis.com, Vicky with an I, and I know you're all over social media as well.
Yes, it is Vicky with an I, and my team always reminds me to say, if you're on the Facebook page, you have to like, follow, and share.
Got it. And we will wish you well, and we'll see what happens in about 6 days. It'll all be in the past, and we'll, I guess, talk about it at that time when the results are in. But we're glad we got a chance to meet you and know you and understand your qualifications. And we appreciate you dropping in again today.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
You got it.
Judge Vicky Davis in the GOP primary for Mobile County Circuit Court Judge come Tuesday. Again, all of these interviews with candidates at FMTalk1065.com.
19 minutes after 8 o'clock, Dan and Dalton, FMTalk 1065. And Mobile mornings up to about 77 or so today. Cloudy and mild and humid. What's happening? Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:23.
And a lot of texts to get to, 251-343-0106, plus the results from the Michigan primary last night. For the first time this campaign season, you had the Democrat primary and the Republican primary running at the same time, so kind of a much more of an apples-to-apples comparison between Biden and Trump as we get one of our first previews of how things may go down in November. Looking at the text line, Tuskers, on Dan's, one of his three big things this morning was about this this deal. Everyone that I saw reporting on Biden, Schumer, McConnell, their meeting with House Speaker Mike Johnson yesterday about getting a budget deal done before a partial government shutdown on Friday, everyone mentioned that there was a roaring fire there in the same room. I guess they were in the Oval Office. I'm not sure where, but everyone mentioned they did it in front of a roaring fire. And that was despite temperatures being above 60 degrees in D.C. And I was like, why is everyone mentioning this? Is it possible they were using that as a little bit of a threat for the House Speaker, the Mike Johnson? He doesn't look like a large person.
He doesn't look like somebody that could easily be threatened by.
So I don't know if...
Did you think Johnson was sitting there thinking, are they going to throw me in the fire?
That's what I'm wondering, if it wasn't used as a bit of a threat. Because talk about walking into the lion's den. Johnson, in that meeting yesterday, and you also had... some leaders of this, I think the CIA, was it Burns? I don't know who all was in there. They had like CIA dudes, FBI dudes, but you also had Senate Majority Leader Schumer, Senate Minority Leader McConnell.
Yeah, Hakeem Jeffries.
Hakeem Jeffries was in there, and Biden. Everyone in that room, except for Johnson, is like dying to get aid to Ukraine more than anything. They talk about it more than the border. They talk about getting money out to Ukraine. So he was walking into the lion's den. Sounds like maybe he's going to find a way to get something through so there's no partial government shutdown. But Tuskers texted in, said, more kabuki theater from Congress. When's the last time we had a balanced budget? It's been a long time.
I answered him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
2001. So that was Bush right off the heels of the Clinton presidency last time there was a balanced budget.
Right.
And since then.
Right before 9/11. too, right?
Yeah, and it's
2001.
It's gotten real bad since then. Tony in Fall River wanted us to pass along train show, model train show this weekend, March 2nd and 3rd. Any model train enthusiasts out there, this will be on Dauphin Street, the Mobile Via Health Fitness and Enrichment Center.
Yeah, that's like kind of a senior center on Dauphin Street in Midtown.
Okay.
On the right, if you're heading downtown.
So if you or kids are into model trains, thank you, Tony. That starts Saturday 9 a.m. and Sunday 11 a.m. They run to 5 Saturday and 4 p.m. on Sunday. $8 for adults. Children 10 and under get in free. $15 for a family. So if anyone's interested in that.
What tells me is that is going to be a popular event is the fact that it's 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
They have enough faith in it that they're going to run it 2 days, $8 to get in, something like that.
Right, yeah.
That's kind of cool. It's unusual. I've never been a model train guy, but I could see the fascination with it. Pretty cool.
Mm, very cool. Speaking of cool, Matt took a picture. He said first Tesla Cybertruck he's seen in Mobile. It had Texas tags, and he said, no, Elon was not driving it. I have yet to see a Cybertruck in Mobile, so it looks like you're on one of the interstates. Very, very cool. The primaries last night, you had Trump, of course, expected to win handily over Nikki Haley, and he did. He was up 42 points last I checked with 99% of the vote in, so it's not going to move much off of that. But Haley's sticking around, at least through Super Tuesday. She was asked by the Wall Street Journal, why? Why are you doing
this?
Fair
question.
And she said, I'm doing what I think is right. I'm doing what I believe 70% of Americans want me to do.
And 100% of
what she
that Quinn Hillier group.
Yeah, that America for the... priorities, what was it called? Principles First.
Yeah.
Principles First Summit.
That group that had their meeting that Quinn was there, and there were some familiar faces you would notice and know some of these people. Anyway, they were kind of, was it the Wall Street Journal that called them Never Trumpers?
It was basically the Never Trump committee meeting is how the Wall Street Journal described it. And I'm sure it was in many ways. But they want her to stick in. At this point, it's obvious the reason she's staying in. And, well, it's multifold, right? Because she's hanging around in case Trump is, for some reason, knocked off the ballot. And you can see the different ways that might possibly happen as we move forward.
Yeah.
It's going to be the temperature in the country, politically and socially, if that happens, will be at a boiling point. I'll tell you that much right now. But Haley thinks she can just jump right in if that happens. Also, she keeps raising money. Now, the Koch network has dropped out.
They're out, right.
They're out, but she's still raising a lot of money. And we know that politicians, when they raise a lot of money for their campaigns, there are other ways they can use that money after the campaign's over, either by rolling it into a future election or putting it into a nonprofit of their choosing, right? Which we've seen politicians use to their advantage over the years. So Haley's sticking in, even though she lost by 42 in Michigan, seems to think she could pick up some states in Super Tuesday come March 5th, but she's not looking very good in that polling either.
No, and it was not exactly a clean sweep for Biden. There's a considerable Muslim population in the Detroit area, and of course they are anti-Israel, and you know they don't like the policies that we've supported going forward. Mm-hmm. What's going on in Israel right now? And that's Tlaib, I guess.
Rashida Tlaib led that charge, voted uncommitted. So how do you feel if you're Marianne Williamson or Dean Phillips? You lost big to nobody. You lost big to uncommitted, but Biden with 81% of the vote and uncommitted picking up 13% of the vote in that Democrat primary.
Binkley dropped out.
Yeah.
Who's Binkley? I didn't know he was there.
No clue.
He dropped out, but he is endorsing Trump. So Binkley, nice to know you.
It wasn't a long drop, was it?
I don't think it was, no.
A36 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on a very humid, a bit warm Wednesday morning for you this as we wrap up February. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing absolutely fine, and things are great at McConnell, I'm sure. We just have 2 days left in February, including today, and many folks know end of the month is a great time to get over and get a deal at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. We've got a bunch of new and pre-owned vehicles here that we need to move. And, I mean, that the new car inventory is getting big. General Motors is pumping them out left and right. I mean, we've got Yukons that we used to never have. We got Yukon XLs, two and four wheel drive, and we got a bunch of new pickup trucks sitting over there, half ton and three quarter tons, which is good on us because we get the trades and we're getting some trades in. We traded in a Z71 Suburban yesterday and got a Ram work van. Anybody looking for some vans, we got a couple of them here. And like I said, we're going to be here. Looks like it's going to be a great day this morning, and we'll cool tomorrow, but we'll be here, and we're going to try to sell a few cars.
Yeah, and you mentioned those new models that you've got the lot stocked with. I'm amazed year over year, Louie, at the advancements in technology that these vehicles that they're churning out now, just some of the most amazing things you would have never believed they'd have in trucks and SUVs and cars. You've got them there on the lot.
That's right, and they'll drive themselves. I mean, it's amazing. We were pulling a trailer the other day with one of the new Denali pickups, and it's got that feature with you just take your hands off the wheel, it drives itself, and it's just amazing. I mean, it really is. And we got a few of those here, got a couple of Hummers here, so like I said, it's going to be a great day. Come on by and see us.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:38. It is political season for sure. Mm-hmm. We are now 6 days from an election day on Tuesday, and have a guest on the line right now that would like to visit with us and talk about her qualifications for the
Mobile County Circuit Court Clerk.
That's right.
Sharla Knox joining us this morning on Mobile Mornings. Good morning, Sharla.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing great this morning. Good to have you on. The kids all settled and everything else, and you got a family you're raising as well, so you got to get the kids in school before you can get on the radio and talk to Dan and Dalton, right?
I do indeed. Fortunately, mine drives, so I'm in good shape right now.
That does help, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, same question we've asked a lot of folks who are running and who will be on the ballot on Tuesday, the finish line right around the corner. What has this been like? Is this your first political race, and what are your thoughts?
It absolutely is my first one. It has been overwhelming, for sure. It has been an experience, for sure. I have learned so much this 10 months that I've been campaigning. It's really been eye-opening, but it's also been fun. I've met so many people and learned so much. So in that respect, it's been fun.
Talk about the job itself, the circuit clerk in Mobile, what it entails and what qualifies you to be the choice.
Sure, absolutely. So the clerk's office is the official record keeper of the court system. We're kind of like the business manager of all the court proceedings in district and circuit court. So we maintain court record and we manage the collection and distribution of funds for the court system. That is what we do. I have 18 years of working within that state system, starting in 2006, working with one of our circuit judges. I did that for about 10 years. And then I moved to the position of court administration, where I worked with juries and jury management. And then in March of 2020, I was appointed to the position of court administrator of the 13th Judicial Circuit, where I worked, oversaw the jury process for Mobile County. I came into this position because Jo Schwartzauer, who was our clerk of court at the time, she retired prior to the expiration of her term. So I interviewed for the position, and what's unique about my position is that it is a vote of our circuit judges as to who this appointment comes to. So I interviewed for the job, and I was unanimously appointed to my position by our circuit judges. And I think that is a resounding testament to what I do and how well I do it and their belief and confidence in what I do.
Yeah, so in a way, you've already won an election. in a way, right?
Yes, and you know, a lot of people don't even understand that this is an elected position, but it is. The Constitution calls for it. So I'm here and I'm running my campaign and trying to get the word out about the importance of my job.
What things do you think you could make better in that role? What improvements can be made?
Well, one of the things that I really do want to touch on this morning, and this might not be exactly in the vein that you're asking about, but I know that yesterday you talked about this app this jury out for jury service. And I got to say, the clerk's office in Mobile County, and I understand this is hard for people to understand. My clerk's office does not have anything to do with jury service in Mobile County. And so that job duty lies with our court administration department and our court administrator, and that's under the purview of our presiding judge. And this is a division that was established 50 years ago when our first court administrator was appointed due to this heavy caseload that Mobile County has. There's a couple of other counties that do it, and the main function of our court administration department is that jury management and jury selection. So I know there was some talk about some program or app or something, but and even if that app, regardless of whose job it is, whose job jury service is, that app can't be implemented in Mobile County. And the reason for that is multitudinal. First off, our administrative office of courts, they know about these jury apps. This is not anything new. They've looked into these programs statewide. It costs literally hundreds of thousands of dollars that the state doesn't have. That doesn't count maintenance and all that stuff. And our current jury management system and our current network, which is a statewide network, cannot support any type of program like this at this time. And I know that our presiding judge, he is so knowledgeable on this. And I know that with regard to the jury process, if there's any question about, you know, jury process, who's responsible for what we can and cannot do as a state agency with regard to juries, I know he'd be happy to answer any question at all about that with anyone at any time. But to answer your question about what I can do, we're streamlined right now. We have, since I've been circuit court, we have phased in an e-warrant system that allows our law enforcement officers to swear out warrants remotely so they don't have to come down to the courthouse. I just, earlier, when I first got sworn into office, I worked with our DA, Keith Blackwood, and his special task force to figure out a way to get certain indictments processed quicker out of our grand jury to get those warrants served on people. And just in the last 2 weeks, our district's small claims division, which is a huge workhorse within the clerk's office, we phased in an online dispute resolution program that kind of is a mediation of sorts that you can do online virtually. So that helps reduce the caseload for our district court judges. So those are just some of the things that I've already done to streamline and make sure that our court system runs smoothly and efficiently.
And speaking of that caseload, something we've discussed a lot around here, as we saw crime, not just around here, but nationwide, go through the roof once the pandemic was declared, beyond many powers in our control. But is it fair to say that kind of working down that backlog and getting to a more manageable number, that coincided with you being named circuit court clerk? Well, did you have anything to do with that?
I would certainly like to think it does, yes, sir. And the reason for that is right now our bench and our law enforcement and even our DA's office, we work so well together. Judge Pipes and I, we have a great working relationship. My clerk's office are moving cases. We've assigned district judges some different assignments and jobs that they can do that are helping to reduce that caseload. I know Judge Pipes has brought in a couple of retired judges. We're pushing those cases out to those judges so they can hear those cases, whether that's by jury trial or by pleas, and we're getting that information out to our law enforcement officers and everybody that's supposed to get it. So yes, while it's not 100% my thing, I'm proud to be part of that team that is digging out of that huge backlog.
Charlotte Knox is running for circuit clerk in Mobile County. It's near the bottom of your website, but at the same time, I think this is important, and I'm sure you put it here for a reason, and it's got to do with one word, that's respect. Now, you've been involved with juries, jury selection, those are short-term personal relationships. I mean, it says here, Charlotte believes that everyone who comes in contact with the clerk's office should be treated with the utmost respect no matter the circumstances. Talk about that belief, because I think that's a strong statement.
Sure. Well, what I think is, you know, when people come into the clerk's office, a lot of times they're upset, they're angry, or they're scared. They're trying to file something in our district small claims division. And so my point, and I tell you, when I took office, I spoke to every single solitary one of my employees personally to tell them that one of my main things with regard to every single office that we have is anybody that steps foot in any window of my office is treated with courtesy and respect, because that's important. We are public servants. Our job is to serve Mobile County residents. And so I don't want somebody to come up to my office and, you know, what do you want? That's not what we're here for. We're here to help to serve to navigate our court system to the best that we can with the core values of courtesy and respect, and I preach that every single solitary day in the office.
As far as endorsements go, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch has endorsed your campaign. What does that mean to you?
Sheriff Birch is a stand-up guy. He is phenomenal. Adore him. He's got so much respect in the community. I also have the endorsement of our former sheriff, Sam Cochran, our former clerk of court, Judge Schwartzauer. I picked up the endorsement of the Mobile Association of Realtors. And I also enjoy the endorsement of 11 retired district and circuit judges from across Mobile County that I've had the pleasure of working with for the last 18 years. They know of my work ethic. They know of my experience. They know of my knowledge of the court system, and that's why they have endorsement. I'm very proud of each and every one of those.
Now, our audience does as well, Charlotte. If they want to find out more, it's simply charlotteknox.com, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay. Any last words? Now 6 days out, anything you want the voters to know before they head to the polls?
Just that, you know, the support that I've had is incredibly overwhelming from the legal community, from law enforcement, from our retired judges, like I said. But the most important thing that you can do next Tuesday is vote. The support only gets me so far. You've got to go to the ballot, and you got to check that box for Knox.
Charlotte Knox for Circuit Clerk. And our pleasure having you on this morning. Charlotte, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Again, these interviews, I've been having them for weeks now. A few more to go this week. You can check them all out online, fmtalk1065.com. Sample ballots also available there. You can practice filling in those circles so that you are an expert.
Proficient.
Come Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, foul it all up.
848 coming up. Deep Thoughts with Senator John Kennedy on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 853. Do you know what is the premier boat show? And, you know, anywhere on the Gulf Coast, well, it's basically the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. Go to it one time and tell me I'm wrong. You can't. It's just a great time. Over $100 million in boats on display at the Wharf. They've got 700 boats right there on land you can touch and feel and see. And 140 boats and amazing yachts to view in the water at the Wharf Marina. It is an amazing weekend at the Wharf. Now, it's the 15th through the 17th. More than 100 exhibitors are going to be there, too, featuring the latest in anything and everything. Marine accessories, electronics, something for everyone who really loves our coastal lifestyle. And, of course, you're at the Wharf. So you've got the entertainment complex right there, restaurants, retail shopping, family activities, all kinds of fun. And parking is absolutely nothing. It's free. March 15th through the 17th, the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. Go one time and tell me I'm wrong. It returns to Orange Beach. Find out more at wharfboatshow.com and on Facebook. And also remember the best boating deals. Get yourself one. Always at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show.
Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show live from the State House in Montgomery. A lot going on there in the Alabama legislative session, and he's going to talk with plenty of decision makers on the way in his show. Senator John Kennedy, one of my favorites, because he is so colorful in all of his interviews. And, you know, the big move for Biden going towards November is to act like he's got a handle on the border. That's why he's headed to the border.
Mm-hmm.
It's become a big deal, obviously. And also the economy. And now the Biden administration blaming shrinkflation. They're going after companies that put littler or less items in the boxes they're selling. You've heard it with the toilet paper, right? The smaller rolls of toilet paper for the same price. So that's what Biden's going with. And Senator Kennedy was asked about that on Hannity this week. And, well, I'll let him take it from there. Actually, let's go to the AI British computer lady. She'll take it now.
It's time for Deep Thoughts with Senator John Kennedy.
President Biden's inflation not only hurts people, but it hurts businesses. Unless you were homeschooled by a day drinker, you can see that shrinkflation and inflation are just different sides of the same coin. And any economist, any reputable economist who didn't get his degree from Costco will tell you that President Biden's economic policies caused both inflation and shrinkflation. So much of the attention right now is on President Biden's age. And it's true that it takes longer than a trip to Jupiter for him to walk across a stage. But we can't lose sight of the fact that his economic policies have been almost every time reliably and dependably wrong. And his inflation is a cancer on the American dream. And the American people have figured it out. And that's why, if you believe the polls, the president is polling right up there with chlamydia.
Thank you for listening to Deep Thoughts with Senator John Kennedy. Now back to Mobile Mornings.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Big there.
So some his jokes, let's see here. They refer to Costco.
Yeah.
That's where you, you got your legal degree?
Yeah. Economics.
Jupiter?
Yeah. A trip to, it takes longer than a trip to Jupiter and back for Biden to walk across the stage.
I thought of a great use of the term day drinking.
Unless you're homeschooled by a day drinker. Do you think he writes these down or these are just off the cuff?
Can't be off the cuff.
No.
They're too good. They're too good. What was at the end there? What was the?
He said, because of Biden's economic policies, if you'll believe the polls, that's why the American people have him polling up there right there with chlamydia, is what he said, which chlamydia is not polling well. I haven't checked lately, but I don't think it's polling very well.
It shouldn't be polling well. Jeff Poore's in Montgomery.
Montgomery, that's right. And he has a number of guests coming up, including State Representative Debbie Wood joins him right off the bat. Following that, you'll have Tiffany Noel with AFRW, it looks like. State Representative Joe LaVorn, State Rep Mike Shaw, State Rep Reed Ingram, and State Representative Maggie Wilcox. Now, coming into the legislative session, we had two big, big topics that they were focusing on, and that would be school choice and gambling. And the House passed the School Choice, the CHOOSE Act yesterday, had six Republicans jump the aisle and vote with Democrats, but it made it through. Now it's headed to a Senate committee. With gambling, it seemed like it was kind of withering on the vine in the Senate. APR says there's a bit more optimism that the bill could make it through the Senate in some form or fashion.
Didn't Governor Ivey speak on it yesterday? Like, hey, wait a minute now. We got to, she wants to sign the correct, the proper gambling bill, but she talked about it again yesterday.
She doesn't want to see a lot of changes, it doesn't seem. And then IVF and State Senator Tim Melson got his IVF bill on the Senate side of things on the floor yesterday, so that's in the works as well.
Jeff Poore on the way, Dan and Dalton tomorrow beginning at 6 a.m. We'll see you then.